You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are meeting with Hiran Motaman, the co-founder and CTO at Dr. Bill, who joins us to share the journey of building a medical billing service for Canadian physicians. Looking forward to hearing the details. And Mr. Motaman, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
And the pleasure is certainly ours, and thanks for your time. So tell me about your background and how you got into entrepreneurship to kick things off today.
Sure. I think sounds a little weird to say it, but I knew that I wanted to start my own business from a very young age, and I don't exactly remember why. But I do remember as long as I was in early high school, I was picking up autobiographies of Bill Gates or Warren Buffett, and I didn't really have any idea where I was going with it, but I kind of liked the idea of owning my own business, even though I didn't really understand what that meant or entailed or how you do it. And then when I was in university, I was doing electrical engineering, and I read the 4-Hour Work Week. And I became fascinated with Tim Ferriss's idea of the new rich and lifestyle design and how I could live independently and travel the world and whatnot. And right around that time was when the iPhone had come out and the iPad had just come out. So I was kind of seeing people who were into software, and they were making a lot of money selling apps. And I was studying electrical engineering, so I slowly, at the end, after reading that book, I switched to software. And I started teaching myself how to make iPhone apps. And I had a friend of mine in university who kind of wanted the same things, and we had scouted each other out as potential business partners for after school. And what I did was I traveled a little bit after graduation, and then him and I started a software business and doing contract work. So we were kind of doing whatever work we could get. Through some of our other friends that were now working as engineers, some of them in oil and gas companies and elsewhere. But we very quickly realized that this service business is not where we want it to be. And of course, this is a common story of people that get into service businesses. They really want to be in product. So we tried building an expense tracker. Initially, this was inspired by my dad, who has a small business. But it turned out to be a terrible idea with a bad business model, and we made every mistake that you could possibly make in the book. With every entrepreneurship book tells you not to do, we did. And after about 9 months of that, we killed it. But the great thing about it was we had a team form at that point. So it was my university friend and myself, and we met our third co-founder while we were working on the Express Tracker. He joined our team. And 3 to 4 months after we had finished that project, our third co-founder, Steve, we're catching up with him, and he said his fiancée was a nephrologist. And he said, she comes home every day after doing a 10 to 12 hour shift with this thick stack of index cards, and she has to do a whole bunch of data entry for her billing. Maybe we can do something about that, because that kind of looks like receipts. And getting rid of that mundane task. And we said, sure, let's give it a shot. And within 8 months after that, we had a product that was ready to launch. So that's kind of the story of the project that I worked on and how specifically Dr. Bill was born.
Hiran, thanks so much for sharing those details. Quite interesting, no doubt. Now, what was it about medical billing that made you think this is the project we're going to commit to?
Yeah, so when we started that expense tracking project, we didn't really know what we were doing. We knew that we wanted to have a business, And this was an idea that I had cooked up. You know, it was inspired by my dad, but for the most part, it was something that we had cooked up. And once we kind of analyzed the landscape of other businesses that were doing expense tracking, we somehow decided that we should be selling this thing to bookkeepers. So we wanted to get to the small business owners through bookkeepers. And so it was getting those people to come to the table or even have a phone call with us about this was really like pulling teeth. It was not something that they were excited about. We had to work very hard, and people were just, you know, some people were very nice and they would, you know, give us their time. And, but they weren't really enthusiastic about it, and we couldn't see it at that time. We just thought that this was part of the process. When we started Dr. Bill, very quickly, even from the first five people that were using it, and we were kind of the beta testers, while it was barely built, we started getting a level of engagement from them that was far beyond anything we were getting with expense tracking. And once we launched, people started trickling in from one specialty after another, without us having to do anything. It was just word of mouth, kind of slowly carried it until it kind of reached a threshold where it was, you know, we were really getting a significant number of customers every month. And we really started getting these emotionally charged and unsolicited inbound comments from people very early on about how this had changed their lives. One of my favorite ones was about a customer who told us that her medical office assistant, who was previously responsible for her billing, wanted to quit her job because of how stressful billing was. And since she started using Dr. Bill, that person had actually come out and said, you know, my job is so much better now that I don't have to deal with medical billing. And of course, the critical threshold that every business has to pass at the beginning, or every startup has to pass at the beginning, is the very first time that you ask a customer for money. I remember that we had to take someone's credit card number, and we didn't have a way of doing that, so we had to call them up on the phone. And, you know, we were very shy and timid about it, didn't know if they were going to give us their credit card or laugh at us for even asking. And, you know, they did, and then people after that did, and they did so gladly. So that level of kind of emotional engagement was really the thing that told us, you know, even before we were making enough money to pay anybody off of this, we kind of knew that, you know, we're really solving a problem that people care about.
That is awesome, inspirational, and a lot can be learned from those details right there. What was the single largest hurdle that you had to overcome in building Dr. Bill?
My co-founders and I talk about this sometimes. I would say learning to deal with uncertainty, and this kind of comes up with in so many different ways that are hard to anticipate when you're starting out. So the very first uncertainty that you have to deal with is whether I have a product that people care about or not. But then that's once you kind of get over that, and that's not a small thing. I don't mean to minimize it, but there are so many other sources of uncertainty, and running a business, in my experience, has just been, you know, being okay with that and embracing it and coming up with better and better ways of handling it. You know, there was a time where we were really making our money from services. We're making our livelihood off of services, but we weren't really focused on it. So while we were working on Dr. Bill, we would have some contract on the side, and we didn't know where the next contract was going to come from because we weren't really trying to establish a sales process because that was not the business that we were building. And it was this constant emotional burden of having to, you know, just have faith in a way that things are going to work out and or we can make things work out no matter how tight things get. You can read about how to hire a team, but it doesn't actually solve your problem because the thing that you read is only theory. And when you have to do it in practice, so many other issues come up and you never know if you're doing the right thing or not. And at that point, you're so emotionally invested in your business that it can be very anxiety inducing to think about, you know, am I hiring the right person? Am I hiring the right team? Am I making some fundamental mistake in my business model that is going to come back and bite me in the future. So all of these things, there's a huge emotional burden with dealing with that uncertainty at every one of these levels. And just being okay with having that and dealing with it and coming up with good heuristics for making those decisions and being okay with mistakes being made along the way, that is definitely a source of growth. That's kind of like at a personal level. I would say at a business level, one of the biggest challenges we've been facing, because we're a remote team, we have team members in Europe and kind of all over Canada, is kind of building a company culture that is, you know, that has the same mission and values when people are all over the world, and they really come from very, very different backgrounds. So that's been something we've been dealing with as we grew.
There's always hurdles to overcome, and we really appreciate some of the background on that as well. Today, we are joined by Hirad Motamed, the co-founder and CTO at Dr. Bill, Canada's most beloved medical billing service for physicians, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, at Dr. Bill, what did you do differently from your previous projects that made it successful?
Probably the single biggest differentiator was that the previous project that we were working on was our idea, and it was our solution, and really everything was coming from us. We were focusing on us way too much. And, you know, this is one of those textbook lessons that, you know, anything you read about startups kind of teaches you this, but I don't think anybody can actually learn it from a book. I think you have to make this mistake. With Dr. Bill, we had a very, very tight feedback loop with our user, because the very first user that we had was my business partner's fiance, or now wife. And that made all the difference, in my opinion. So we were building this with no preconceived notion. And that was another thing I would say. Some people will say that you need to build a business that solves the problem that you have yourself. And I think maybe that's true. In our case, and I don't know if this is a general rule or if we were an anomaly, in our case, I think it was a great thing that we knew nothing about medical billing. So we had no preconceived notions. We had no baggage coming into it. We were laser focused on understanding the problem that our customers had and building the solution for it. So when we started off, my co-founder, Steve, he kind of took on the role of a billing agent for his wife. And we started building a tool that would solve the problems that she had when she was billing. And then we would get one of her colleagues on board. And then that colleague might have a slightly different work pattern. So then he would hit some issues with the app that we hadn't seen before, and we would immediately fix those. And then we would scale that up to maybe 5 people, had that going for a few months, hit lots of different issues that we fixed. And then we started slowly getting, more and more people. So we started out with one nephrologist, and pretty soon we had a team of nephrologists on board. And then they would talk to their colleagues in other specialties, and then they would come on board, and billing in other specialties would be a little bit different. So we would get all sorts of feedback from them that, hey, the app doesn't work well for this particular scenario, and then we would build that. But having that tight feedback loop was the thing that made all the difference, because we solved exactly what the customers needed. Even at a point where the product was very immature, it was still solving those problems. And that's why at a very early stage, I think people were, emotionally invested in it, because it was really helping them.
And with all that being said, how has this journey changed you personally? I'd like to hear some of the thought there.
I would say the biggest change for me has been that I got into meditation seriously. Like I said before, dealing with that uncertainty and the emotional stress that comes with it, if you don't really know how to handle that, it can be quite taxing. I remember there was one evening where I was, we had one office in a large building, and we had made an issue, we had shipped the bug, essentially, and things were going sideways. And I was there at 8 p.m., trying to go through our logs and figure out what mistake we had made and how this bug was happening. And I became distinctly aware that if I have a heart attack right now, there's nobody in the building to find me until the next day. And that's when I thought, okay, I need to get into meditation seriously. That was something I'd heard a lot of entrepreneurs talk about when I was listening to podcasts and reading about entrepreneurship. And it's been a life-changing activity in so many levels. Definitely helped me be more calm when I deal with stressful situations, but also in my personal life, it's been drastic. So if anyone listening to this wants to do a 10-day meditation retreat, I highly, highly recommend it. Sounds very scary at the beginning, but it's definitely worth the effort.
Lastly, what's something you wish you knew when you were starting out? I'm sure we could also learn from some of those details as well.
Sure. When I was starting out, and I think this was true of both of my co-founders as well, we were really trying to figure out how to do things the right way. Because you're starting a business, it's your first time running a business, and at every point along the way, you're seeing challenges that you're seeing for the first time and don't really have any reference point of how to solve the problems that you're facing. And one of the things that's very tempting in those situations is to try to rely on other people who have done it before. And I think that's good in some cases. In some cases, you want to you don't want to reinvent the wheel. You want to just go take a good solution that somebody else has figured out and apply it in your business. But I think people do that a little too often. They're very quick to go to that that route. A lot of the times, I think you need to learn. Something I had, it took me probably 3 years of doing Dr. Bill to really figure this out. When you read something about how other people have built things in their businesses, they've built things for their businesses. Those are not, a lot of the times, they're not generalizable solutions. And what you really have to consider is that the dynamics in your business are going to be unique, and you need to learn to think from first principles and, you know, come up with your own solution to things. So it's not always true that you can take a reliable solution that somebody else has figured out. This can be, for example, in the context of software, the agile methodology. If you try to stick to that in a very rigid way, I think it's not going to work out so well. You have to adapt it for the particular team members that you have and the dynamic that you have in your team and the goals that you need to accomplish. So kind of figuring out how to do that at every level, that where it makes sense, and distinguishing where it makes sense and where, you know, you probably don't want to be thinking from first principles when you're writing a contract. You want a lawyer to just do that for you. But knowing where it makes sense and where it doesn't, and figuring out that the things that you read about, you have to really make them your own, and you have to solve that problem for your business, and that's not any other person's business. That was a big transformative thing for me.
Well, Mr. Motamed, it certainly has been great to have had you, and a lot we can learn from your journey and some of the things you've overcome and accomplished. It's been inspirational to hear how Dr. Bill has been created and the success that you have seen so far, and thank you for what you're doing within the medical billing space. Where can listeners, if they wanted to tap into Dr. Bill and get further details, where could they find you online?
Sure. So our website is dr-bill.ca. So that's dr-bill.ca, and that's the best place to find us.
Good enough. Again, Hirod, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And the pleasure was certainly ours. We've been speaking with Hirod Motamed, the co-founder and CTO at Dr. Bill, Canada's most beloved medical billing service for physicians. And for further details, simply visit dr-bill.ca. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7. Around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.